yourself in after the cold, horrible, wet night outside. Come and join us by the fire, grab a horn of mead, enjoy some food from the table, and we shall tell some tales of Panathor. I'm Jan, and I'm accompanied by...
Bob.
And we are today going to look at...
lists. Namely, how to make lists, narratives, lists... different styles of lists, things you might want to take to tournaments. We decided that this would be a good topic after doing our bonus feature for Andrew Hawley's tournament next weekend with the legendary lists that were ongoing. So obviously having seen some lists that had not taken everything optimally, we thought we'd have a little look, didn't we?
We did indeed.
So, where to begin?
Well, I should imagine begin at the beginning. So what we have is we have a selection of lists that we've asked our local community to come up with, and we're going to have a look at those, and we're also going to describe to you how we choose our lists, both for going to tournaments and for playing friendly games at the club and at home.
Well, let's start with... what styles do we get lists in? People have heard of things like the Flying Circus or a shooting list, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily know what those things entail.
No, so, well, a lot of people will start off, their list will be whatever they've got in the collection of the models to begin with. I mean, if you're just starting out in the game, then you'll be going with, I've bought a starter army, what can that starter army make me? And that then go on to the companion or look at the rule book, write down what models you've got, what they can be used as in the army that you've chosen, and then there is, how do you choose which army you're going to use?
Well, that's a completely separate thing, isn't it? Because that's about your play style. That's where we get into the narratives and what you enjoy. It's like, you're a dwarf player through and through. You have been for decades.
I also play ogres and other things.
Yeah.
I've dabbled.
You have dabbled, but when we first got to know each other, you were playing Ratkin, or Skaven as they were back then, and dwarves.
Well, the Skaven was actually my ex-wife's army.
Yeah, but you often used
them. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you'd spent a long time painting. But... that is the way of these things.
Well, that will be a different podcast then. How to choose your faction.
Yes.
So.
Whether it's good, evil, neutral, it's a completely separate thing. The how you choose and what you're wanting to do.
So before I throw this the podcast completely off track, we'll take that one and we'll put that in a box over there somewhere.
Yeah.
And we'll go back to, how do you write an army list?
Uh-huh. So, we generally know that you've an idea in your head of how you'd like to play. This can be a concept for a narrative. And in my case, you know, I'm usually the kind of person that likes to run across the table and hit stuff.
Mm, the jam.
The jam. So, I tend to think about having lots of hammers, some brute force, and just thundering out there.
Yeah, for... the uninitiated, the hammer is a unit that you use like a hammer. It runs across the table or flies across the table, hits something very hard, and they usually die. What you generally tend to find with Kings of War is you have hammers,
mm-hmm.
anvils,
mm-hmm.
tar pits.
Mm-hmm.
So hammer I've just described. Anvil is a unit that can stand there and take the charge of a hammer, hopefully survive, and then allow you to counterpunch with your own hammers.
Mm-hmm.
A tar pit is a unit that's a bit like an anvil, but you expect it to stick around a bit longer.
Like a legion of scarecrows.
Legion of scarecrows.
I've been quite guilty of in the past.
Naiadin snarers, anything that takes a long time to kill. And
it's usually a big horde, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you don't kill it, it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And doesn't really go anywhere once you've had that initial burst. It's just keeping you stuck in one place, hence it being a tar pit.
Mm.
Very useful if you don't want people to get to certain things.
And then you have all sorts of things like chaff, which is small expendable units. that you use to block your opponent's charges, force him to fight where you want to fight, cover your own unit's movements, create opportunities, all sorts of things like that. And, I mean, to be perfectly honest, we could do an entire cast on just chaff.
Yeah, we're
not going to.
No.
Not going to derail everything.
Add to the chaff, thick chaff.
Yes,
which is the slightly more expensive but expendable units.
There's thick chaff, there's shooty chaff, there's chaff, there's flaying chaff, there's nimble chaff, a whole podcast's worth of chaff. But that's a general very quick look at different unit types. But like I say, when you're starting out, generally your first army will be whatever models you've got. It's very rare that somebody just starting out in Kings of War is going to write an army list, buy an army based on that list, and then play that. What they're most likely to do is borrow models, buy random models, whatever they like, then start playing, then realise that stuff they've bought isn't quite as good as they thought. Hence, you end up with 8,000 points of an army of stuff that...
And now somebody guilty of that.
Yeah, stuff that you've bought, painted up.
Painted.
Thought this will be really cool on the table. Put it on the table. It does work, but not quite how you wanted it to. And then you go to a tournament. Go to a tournament, see somebody else using a similar unit or something slightly different in the army. And then you come back and go, well, actually, what I should have done in the first place is done that. So, if we sit here and burble about it, look at some army lists, describe and dissect people's army choices. Yes, I'll stop feckling with it. I'm trying not to feckle with my beard because you've told me not to play with my beard. So, I'm just going to sit here with my arms crossed at the moment.
Right, so... we're going to have a look at lists. We have just discovered, like, the units, discussed, even. We've just discussed
the units. Yeah, in sort of a 30-second burst of this is a unit. We'll get into more depth as we go along. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with, bearing in mind that these are friends of ours who, some are quite regular tournament players, some are more...
club-oriented.
Club players, and some are...
friendlies.
Just play friendlies and dabble a bit with tournaments.
Well, shall we have a look at a spamming list,
a typical spamming list.
As a spamming list, we are meaning multiples of the same kind of units.
Yes, not tins of spam, not tins of processed meat. So...
We will put a link below as well in our podcast, so you can have a view of these lists in your own free time.
Yes.
And have a nosy at them.
I mean, I have been very guilty of this in the past.
Well, you're usually Brock spam, aren't
you? Yes, I'm usually Brock spam, which is usually 5 regiments of Brocks, 5 troops of Brocks, 2 Brock rider heroes, and a general on a giant Brock, and occasionally a flying general.
Wingy kingy.
Yeah. That is an example of extremely swingy spam. Everything hits on 4+, everything is defense 4+, and has bucket loads of attacks. When it works, it's fantastic.
But more than often as not, you come away from the table in tears.
Yeah, because it works just so far and then it dies. But I have got a first place trophy on the trophy cabinet to show that occasionally, if the wind's in the right direction...
And your dice actually
the
want
dice,
to play.
The dice gods favour you and your opponents make a couple of mistakes...
And you don't face me because I know how to beat it every time.
Yes, but you can win a tournament. Tournament won with 2 wins and a draw.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was.
Right, so
here's
a spam list.
So this is a spam list. It's an undead list.
And thank you goes out to Andrew Hawley for this one, who obviously we did the review for of his legendary tournament next weekend.
Yeah, the fact that Andy's nickname is the Zombie Master. will give you some idea of what you're about to hear. So, starts off with zombies. Hordes of zombies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hordes of zombies. All as they come. So they're basically 115 points. So that's 1,150 points of zombies in hordes. Life Leech 1. Shambling, expendable zombies.
And by the way, all the lists that we're going to review are 2,000 points as requested from each of these people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two hordes of zombie trolls on there and a revenant king who is the spellcaster that does the surging.
And then we've got three necromancers who one of them has the inspiring talisman. They all have the vicious melee zombie only. I wonder why. Aura, one edge periscope, one inspiring talisman. They've all got surge. Two of them have Bane Chant 2, and one has Alchemist's Curse, which is just there to take out anything high defense. And then we have an undead army standard bearer, another source of inspiring with the loot of insatiable darkness. So more Bane Chant. More Bane Chant.
Now, just go into a little bit of detail as to why we see a lot of loot of insatiable darkness on these. It gets about a lot.
Yes, because it's a cheap and easy way of getting a Bane Chant spell. It used to be that it was the only source of Bane Chant you could get for certain armies. So you saw a lot of characters with the loot of insatiable darkness. And since the change on army standard bearers to give them, I mean, the undead army standard bearer has gained an aura of wild charge D3 for skeletons only, which isn't very much effect in this army, but he is a cheap caddy for that loot of insatiable darkness. He's 55 points in his underpants with 25 point magic item. It's exactly the same as the spell, so it's 12 inches. Any success gives you crushing strength 1. It's just a nice support piece to boost up those zombies, along with, like we were saying before, the three necromancers. Two of those have got the Bane Chant.
Yeah, and obviously, as a newbie, you might not be aware of what Bane Chant does for you, but it gives you an increase.
It gives you crushing strength 1.
Yeah.
Increases your crushing strength by 1, or if you haven't got any crushing strength, it allows gives you crushing strength 1.
Yeah.
And then you have, on the necromancers, you have the aura of vicious for zombies only, seeing as the whole army is virtually zombies, apart from the necromancers, the standard bearer, and the revenant. That means that the trolls and basic foot troopers get vicious,
which is a reroll
any natural ones on your to wound roll, which increases the number of wounds given. No, it's only a couple in each, but they soon mount up, especially with the amount of attacks this army can chuck out. What you usually find fighting against the zombie spam army is that it turns into a race of who can kill who first. You chew your way through zombies to get to any objectives or invade or anything like that, and zombies in the meantime are just plodding slowly forward, taking the hits, getting in the way, clogging up your weapons, tripping up your cavalry.
That many of them are.
And then
they're basically a tar pit in it.
Then 25 attacks on 5 plus coming back the other way. And then if they have been
Bane
Chanted, then they can hand out some damage. The zombie trolls can. I mean, they hit on a 4 plus. They have crushing strength 2. So they're more than capable of taking stuff apart. 18 and attacks a unit.
All those life leeches, because each of them comes with life leech 1. Means that they get a small amount of regeneration as long as they hit something.
Oh, yeah, they get one wound back every round of combat. So over the course of a game, if they're in combat every turn, they get 6 wounds back, which isn't a right lot. But
it's not a right lot, but it's enough to tilt it in the favour, isn't it, really?
Plus, all the troops are fearless, so they're all going to do what you want. The only stuff that can waver is the necromancers, and they generally will be stood at the back behind 10 hordes of zombies, 2 hordes of zombie trolls, going Bane Chant. Apart from the guy with the edge periscope, who will be behind a horde of zombies, going, see that tough unit over there, Alchemist's Curse. causing damage. The other guys will be bane chanting or surging. I mean, there's nothing worse than throwing yourself into a horde of zombies and getting a horde of zombie trolls surged into the flank while you're in combat with them. I mean, that will
soon. Surging shenanigans is always the bane of a new player's life, because they don't think about the fact that something comes up alongside and they're out of your arc. So they don't consider the fact that you can then just turn and be surged in your next turn. Or you try to place yourself safely out of arc. Next thing you know, you've got zombies turned to face you and you're getting pounced on in a flank.
Yes.
Or even more to the point, a rear ending.
Indeed. I mean, we could do an entire podcast on Surge as well.
Yes, we
but
can.
I think if you listen to people like Countercharge, if you go on to a Dash 28, there's articles and articles about Surge, how the best way to use it, how not to be caught by it, how to defend against it. All we're going to say is that it's nasty
and I love doing it.
You shouldn't do it to your friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
You shouldn't.
Oh, you're bitter and twisted. And it's your fault that I started doing it.
You're the one that keeps shunting tree herders into the back end of units.
You were the one that started doing rocks and brocks absolutely donkeys years ago before I ever started surging stuff. And I sat back and I thought, you know what? Who can play that game?
Yeah.
I just do it better.
You do it because you've got more stuff, that's why.
Oh, I've just got the hang of it. Yeah. Whereas it does take a bit of getting used to. So if we were to turn this into a bit of a narrative list.
Well, it's Day of the Dead. Yeah. Day of the Living Dead, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
It's three necromancers have gone on a road trip.
Come across a nice big cemetery.
Found a cemetery or a battlefield or something. And they've gone, you know what? Let's raise some dead. The first one they raise, obviously, is the Revenant King, who goes, tell you what, let's raise some dead. Brings his standard bearer back, brings all the freshly butchered troops back, picks up some trolls who were on the opposing side, but that doesn't matter once they got the blue light behind their eyes.
Mm.
And off they go.
Yeah, and usually, as we do for narratives, you use the scenario to play out the narrative you want.
Yes.
So, in a lot of the stuff that you face undead with, you tend to find that they're good at, like, defending things, getting in the way. So it would probably be objective markers, I think.
Well, I think that no matter what scenario you use, this army will be good for.
Well, yeah.
Good for invade, because it's got massive unit strength.
You could just surge it across the line anyway, so yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's got 36 unit strength on 17 draw. So any control, hold the line, anything like that. Just keep pushing those hordes of zombies up, blasting away. Yeah, so it's definitely a very themeful army.
It's a lot of fun if you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah,
which we know Andy is.
It's not the sort of army that you just one day go, you know what, I'm going to paint 700 zombies.
No, not unless you were, like, going to dip and dry them, you know. It's just like, here we go, stick them to the base, and dip it in a coat of something, off you go.
Yeah.
But, no.
Contrast paints are your friends.
Oh, yes, very, very much so. But, yeah. So, Andy also gave us another list. So we've looked at that one and discussed how you'd get a narrative from his spam.
Let's have a look then at the other one.
Now, this is a balanced list.
Oh, look, he's got zombies in it.
Yeah, but he's only got four hordes.
Only four hordes of zombies in this one. So this is the balanced list.
Yes.
So we've got four hordes of zombies, two hordes of zombie trolls, a horde of wights, which are flaying undead creatures, large infantry, with brutal, crushing strength 2, fly, life leech 2, and shambling. Shambling
that's
the magic
is the item, do that.
It increases their life leech. 2 balefire catapults, which are particularly nasty. A ghoul ghast. Nice. I use one of them. My fledgling undead army.
lovely with the wings of honey maize. Just
how about using with the wings of honey maize? That's an interesting one. Because I use a lot of ghouls. So he runs with the ghouls. So this one's been done so he can fly over and he's taking out war machines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. With his wild charge D3 and fly. So that's 21 to 23 mm-hmm. inch charge range. Leash King with the edge periscope so he can hide behind one of the aforementioned units of zombies and cast Alchemist's Curse. And he has Surge 10 as well. A Necromancer this time with the Conjurer's Staff, which gives you a reroll of one failed dice on your spellcasting attempt. Surge 6, Bane Chant 2. Undead Army Standard Bearer with the Loot of Insatiable Darkness. And Revenant on Undead Great Brewing Worm. Not something you see a lot of, that.
No, and to put a Brew of Sharpness on it. Mm.
Well, it has 12 attacks hitting on 3+. Basically, it's stats, movement 7, Titan, 3+ to hit, no range, defense 5, unit
fearless
strength
18.
2, fearless 18. It's a giant.
Yeah.
Height 6, but it's a giant without the random attacks. Brutal, crushing strength 3, life leech 1, strider. Yeah, it's a giant without the crushing attacks. Same, without the random D6 plus.
Mm-hmm.
8 attacks, so it's always going to have 12 attacks, so it's a bit more reliable. It can march, so it's fast moving for an undead army. Interesting choice.
Ooh, it's me.
Yeah.
My turn to yawn.
Well, it's all right. I'll just cut them out. Mm-hmm. And we have, so there we have a much more balanced force. Still got the zombies in it, because it's still a wet undead army.
So he's given himself some shooting to be able to...
He's got shooting and flying. Yeah. So the whites and the ghoul ghast can go out there and fly mm-hmm. and cause problems. Obviously, the necromancer, the leech king... The necromancer and the leech king are there for supporting the infantry as it comes up, as is the undead army standard bearer. The large revenant burrowing worm thing, or the pseudo giant, is there to do what 75 mil square base titans do, which is cause problems to people, especially with dash 18, 14 inch charge range, could get into flanks and stuff like that. The fact that it can't be surged is a bit of a handicap really for that. So if it was like a bone giant sort of thing.
Mm.
A number of times I've had them surged into the... But the whites can do that because they can fly, land with their nimble from the fly. Oh, no, they're not nimble.
They're not nimble.
But they fly in, land, and then get surged in. So they can't do the old fly over the top, turn round and get surged in the back like air elementals. But still, defense 5, crushing strength 2, 18 attacks on 3+ whites. Nasty.
They're very nasty. Far more balanced, as he says, but at the same time, there's less spam, but more nasty.
Mm.
So, theme-wise...
Theme-wise, it's an older army. It's an older undead army that's got round to raising different things. It's, you know, it's got less zombies in because they've died. The zombie trolls are there because they're quite hard. But in the meantime, the revenants become a leash king.
Mm-hmm.
They've attracted a ghoul ghast, and a bloke on a giant burrowing worm has joined them. There's one necromancer left with his faithful army standard bearer. And they've also found some ancient burial mounds, some barrows, and they've dug up some whites and reanimated.
So, shall we progress on to the next list?
Yeah, who do you want to look at this time?
Well, we've just done evil, so.
Well, we've just done a balanced army and a spam army from somebody who does play tournaments and runs tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So, shall we have a look at an army from somebody that is more of a club player, casual player?
Okay.
I mean, to be honest,
we're going to be on Ian's.
If Ian was any more laid back, he'd
be. Be horizontal.
Yeah, he's also managed to give you a 2,300 point. That
well, bless him. Not a problem. Nice and easy anyway.
Well, I must
I think
admit,
we can safely say there's a bit of spam in
I
there.
I must admit, if anybody's confused by that reaction, I actually haven't had a chance to have a look at these armies before this cast because I've been at work all day. This is the first time I've seen it, and this is not what I was expecting Ian's army to look like. Hey ho.
He's got my favourite units at the beginning for the Night Stalkers.
So we've got, it's Night Stalkers, which is Mantic's own IP. Sort of the premise behind these guys is that they are your worst nightmares manifest. That's how they get into the world.
They come through the void.
They come from the void of the abyss. And they prey on human emotion, or they prey on emotions and fears. So the first unit type is doppelgangers. Now these guys come in troops and regiments, and what they do, their special thing is, apart from the mind thirst and stealthy rules, which is prevalent with the Night Stalkers, everybody has that pretty much. They have the doppelganger.
Yeah.
So what they do is
they mimic.
They take your, in combat, they take your opponent's
stats,
your melee stats.
Choose to if it's better. There's not much that's worse.
No.
But
they take the attacks, the attacks, your melee value, and your any crushing strength or thunderous. Is it? No, just crushing strength.
It's just crushing strength. You don't get the thunderous.
Yeah. If you give them a magic item, they take your opponent's stats and then add their magic item to it, which is quite handy.
Certainly is.
Quite nasty little sods. Saying that after these gave me literally nightmares during lockdown because I was trapped in a house with a Night Stalker general, and every time we played a game, these things just chopped
really
me to pieces.
I had only just finished my Night Stalkers at the point we went into lockdown, though.
Mm.
Literally, like, the December, wasn't it?
It was.
They came out just in time for the next season's Starks, and then lockdown happened.
That's right. So anyway, we have four regiments of these. Then we have two legions of bloodworms.
Good old tar pits.
Which are a classic example of a tar pit unit. They are nerve 25/28. They hit on a 4+ normally, but one of them's got the brew of sharpness because they have 40 attacks. So 40 attacks, fury, life leech 2, mind thirst, and stealthy. So they're hard to shoot off the table. They've got massive nerve, low defense, but it doesn't matter. They're going to get two wounds back every turn because hitting on a 3+. With 40 attacks, you are going to get some wounds.
You're at least going to manage 2 to 22. It'd be really, really hard pushed. Although
then,
I have seen Ian's dice in the past.
Yeah, and then the other legion, hitting on a 4+, naturally, but they have the hammer of measured force, which means they always wound on a 4+, regardless of any other modifiers. So 40 attacks, hitting on 4s, wounding on 4s is 10 wounds almost guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, roll dice like a...
like Ian.
Yeah.
Tormentors.
Tormentors. We've
now,
got four troops of these. Now, these are flying reapers, basically.
Yeah.
So they are berserker-style infantry, but they can fly. They have a movement of 7, melee 3+, defense 3+, 12 attacks, 10, 12 nerve, height 2.
And at the cost of those, they're very good flying chaff.
Yeah, and they also have, they have crushing strength 1, fly, mind thirst, nimble, stealthy, strider, and leaper. Now, what leaper is if you hide these behind another unit of the same height, normally you won't be able to see over them, but the leaper special rule allows them to see. They sort of bounce up and down and go, oh, there's somebody over there, so they can then fly over the unit and charge them. It's like each unit has that edge periscope thing that gives you, makes your height relative at one more point relative. So they're quite nasty. They lurk behind the doppelgangers or the bloodworms, and then when you're engaged with them, they come flying over and batter you.
Yep.
And then we have four regiments of butchers. Now, right at the beginning, you were talking about thick chaff. Now, that's thick. It's T-H-I-C-C. Yeah. Now, these butchers are not so much now because they now can waver. They used to be fearless 14, mm-hmm. but they're now 13, 15 nerve. But they do have fury and stealthy. So they are still some of the best thick chaff in the game, which is probably why a lot of people ban allies at tournaments, because all of a sudden, with the advent of UB and the discovery that butchers were excellent thick chaff, the fact that people didn't have to paint up the actual units, they just drew them on the computer, all of a sudden everybody was allying in regiments of thick chaff, regiments of butchers. If you could ally them into your army, if you had a neutral or evil army, you could ally night stalkers in, people were doing it. Thick chaff, the height three, so they're good for blocking stuff off. It's not that easy to one-shot them. They are defense 5, like I say, nerve 13, 15. They have the fury, so if you go in, even if you waver them in combat, they keep coming back at you. They only have 9 attacks, hitting on 4s, but they're crushed 2. So they are going to do some damage, and they're there basically to hold you up. And then to lead this circus of horrors is the horror. With his aura of vicious melee only, which will work on
all the infantry.
Will work on the doppelgangers. I don't think it works on the bloodworms because they're a swarm, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Bloodworms. No infantry.
That's changed.
That's nasty. So all the doppelgangers, the tormentors, and the bloodworms get the benefit
from
the vicious.
So everything apart from the
and he has bane chance. So that Bloodworm Legion with the Brew of Sharpness could be hitting on 3s and then Bane Chanted. That's equally nasty. Again, another one with high unit strength, 34 unit strength, but only 15 drops, even though it's higher points. It's got all the large infantry regiments in it. So that's not quite what I was expecting, but it is.
Well, we have played many friendly games with
him. It's a multi-spam army because he's just gone for 4 of everything apart from the bloodworms and the horrors. So I can see how it works. Narrative-wise, to be perfectly honest with the fact that Night Stalkers are evil dream dudes, no matter what you put in the army, you can justify it narratively as it's coming through in the subconscious of its victims.
Well, it's very much, you've never watched it, but there's TV series
Stranger Things.
Yep. You sat there and said you're not watching it because it give you nightmares. And it would pretty much be a Night Stalker army that is in the other realm.
Right.
And comes through rips in it. So you could play out a narrative of that kind of thing quite easily.
Mm. It's bad enough watching Poltergeist.
It's not a surprise at like 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep, I come downstairs and watch the stuff that you won't watch.
Well, there you go. Now we know.
Well, it's either that or raid the fridge on some occasion.
Well, let's move on to a different army. Let's have a look at an army that is pure, unadulterated tournament army.
Yeah, Rob Sims. Good old Northern Alliance here. All good fun. So, Ice Naiads. You've got a horde there of Tundra Fighters with spears and the Hammer of Measured Force. Yeah. Because he wants to hit everything and hit it on 4s at the other side.
So these have ensnare
30 attacks.
Yeah, ensnare, regeneration 5+, wild charge 1, icy blood, tundra fighters,
and phalanx.
So what this unit does basically is it sits there, it acts as
an anvil
and a tar pit because of the regeneration. But it can also dish out some damage because the Hammer of Measured Force, all right, if it comes up against zombies or stuff like that, it's no use because it makes it harder for you to wound them, but comes up against anything that's defense 5 or 6.
Yeah, you've got to pick your fights.
30 attacks on 4s, hitting on 4s, wounding on 4s. So you're looking at 7 or 8 wounds a turn with the hammer of measured force, if you're lucky.
Well.
Because the tundra fighters will give them vicious,
mm-hmm.
as long as their target is frozen. And I think the icy blood thing, if I'm not mistaken, you wouldn't think that I am actually doing a Northern Alliance army. But the icy blood thing gives them icy blood. While engaged with a unit with the frozen special rule, each unit gains the life leech 2 special rule. So they got life leech and regeneration when they're frozen. So,
mm-hmm.
and what's he got in his army that'll freeze stuff? So we've got 4 regiments of pack hunters with bows. So lots and lots of shooting there. Now, these guys got Pathfinder, Stealthy, Thunderous Charge 1 and Wild Charge 1. They're the jack-of-all-trades units.
It's an easy shooting unit to just clog things up, isn't it? They're not amazingly good because you've...
No, they're not amazingly good at anything in particular, but they are like the pound shop glade stalkers, really.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that they... They've got the stealthy against any incoming fire back at them. They're only defence 3, though, but 4 regiments of them, 48 shots. Then he's got a large cavalry horde of Frostclaw Riders, which are the new guys on the block.
And he's given them the Jesse's Boots.
Jesse's Boots, which gives them Strider for 1 turn and Pathfinder for 1 turn.
And is an auto-take on most lists
and
nowadays.
These have got their ice bombs for shooting. 18-inch attack, 12 range 4 plus piercing 1 steady aim. They've got Fly, Fury and Nimble, Thunderous Charge 2, Ice Runes, which means they give the frozen. He's put Cavern Dweller in there, which is a miniature giant. And that gives has the chilling presence, so anything within 6 inches of that gets frozen, so that synergizes with the
carries right
the naiads. Well, the pack hunters don't have tundra fighters, so they won't get it. But Thanes on Frostfang,
mm-hmm.
they'll get vicious because they're tundra fighters. The Snow Troll Prime has vicious anyway. The Lord on Chimera will get vicious. Because he's got Tundra Fighters, which means he'll be elite and vicious.
You're jumping ahead of the list.
Why?
You've just said Lord on Chimera, but we've not actually got down there, so people don't even know it's there. Okay.
Because we've got 4 lots of Pack Hunters, 4 of Frostclaw Riders, Cavern Dweller, 2 Thanes on Frostfang, Snow Troll Prime, and a Lord on Chimera.
There you go. Yeah. But you'd not mentioned the Snow Troll Prime with the Trickster's Wand, and you'd not mentioned the Lord on Chimera, apart from the fact that you'd just done it then.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Trickster's Wand is on the Snow Troll Prime there to take out enemy spellcasters.
Yeah, using the hex.
Yeah. So you've got 11 units, total unit strength 21, 2,000 points, that is.
And he's put Snow Foxes on the Thanes, doesn't
it? Yeah, it just gives them an extra attack.
Yeah.
So it makes them attack 6 instead of 5. And the Snow Troll Prime has 5 attacks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord on Chimera has 10.
And an Icy Breath, which is basically the same as Fireball, really, but in reverse.
Yeah. And if you hit with the Icy Breath, it freezes as well, which activates the Tundra Fight.
So, a low unit drop of 11. It's not massive unit strength, though, 21.
No, because it's fairly elite. It's fairly elite.
Yeah.
Army, because also the Pack Hunter's unit strength, because they're shooting units, is only unit strength 2.
Mm.
So, that's the trade-off. They might be good at shooting and they, you know, trundling around the table, holding board quarters and things, but they are only unit strength 2 because, like I say, they are pound shop glade stalkers in the end of things. Well, I mean, that's not stopping putting 3 regiments in my army.
Well, if we were to turn that into a narrative list,
Well, narrative list is that it's got everything in there that is the Northern Alliance. The only thing it hasn't got is dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
It's got no. In fact, it hasn't got any elves in either. Because if it had the Icekin Hunters, it would be. But it's fairly typical Northern Alliance list. Naiads, human tribesmen, which is the pack hunters, which I always thought of making up the vast majority of the Northern Alliance army anyway. The dwarfs riding frost claws.
Mm-hmm.
A cavern dweller, a blind beast pulled out of a cave to add some muscle to the army. Thanes on frost fangs to control them. A snow troll prime, they were there from the very beginning of the Northern Alliance. And the Lord Unchimera is the guy that's brought them all together to go and fight for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing a lot of narrative with our Northern Alliance as it comes in. But you can easily find ways to tie all these things together to bring a story out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have the pack hunters will be ranging ahead. The Ice Naiads provide the muscle. Then you have the Frostclaw Riders to support the pack hunters and to scout further out. The Thanes on Frostfang, highly mobile guys that can ride backwards and forwards between the main unit and the scouts. The Cavern Dweller is the Lord on Chimera's personal pet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Snow Troll Prime's just there because the Lord of Chill sent him out to keep an eye on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they're off to go and find some things for the Northern Alliance. There we go, quick narrative. What do you want to look at next? We've had zombies, cuddly zombies, dream demons, and do you want to build a snowman, people?
I think, shall we have a little look at some very elite elves?
Okay. So is that elves or silvered elves?
I would probably say
elves.
The Sylvan are elite, but obviously.
So these are elves. These belong to another Andy, but this is Andy Laycock.
Who is a tournament player.
But he also plays at the club. Plays
he does.
More at the club than he plays at tournaments.
Yeah, that's true.
But he plays his tournament lists at the club.
Yeah, and he runs elves because basically he likes dragons.
Yeah, although he has cut back on his dragons just recently.
He has. And this list has reduced his dragon use as well. There are drakes.
There are also dragons, but well.
Yeah.
So this list, we start off with a regiment of kindred tall spears. So basically elves with spears. A horde of Therenian sea guard, which is elves with spears and bows. A regiment of Silverbreeze cavalry, which is elves with short bows on horses. A regiment of Stormwind cavalry, which is elves with spears on horses. And these ones have Sejessi's boots of striding. Then we have a horde of Dracon riders with the Brew of Strength to give them an extra 1-inch movement. Elven Archmage with the Boomstick for Lightning Bolt 7 to get rid of all that chaff.
And
that's the ginger bitch.
Ginger bitch.
Not that we're bitter about it at all. The King's Champion, which seems to be more and more of an include in everybody's elf army. But then when you... Yeah, Speed 7, Melee 3, Defense 5, 7 attacks, 14, 16 nerve, Height 2, points 145. Special rules, Aura of Fury, Kindred only, Crushing Strength 1, Duelist, Elite Melee, Individual, Inspiring Mighty Phalanx. The only thing it hasn't got is Vicious. And then, on top of that, we have a Dragon Kindred Lord. Not one, but two. One with the Mace of Crushing, one with the Blade of Slashing. For those extra one
wounds. Always using that 5-point extra.
So you have total units 9, total unit strength 19. Because dragons are now unit strength 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, well.
So yes, plenty of phalanx in the tall spears and the sea guard. Plenty of shooting, in the Sea Guard, Silver Breeze Cavalry, and the Gingerbread Elven Archmage.
And dragons.
And dragons with dragon's
baby
breath.
Dragons. Little dragons. Yes. Big dragons. Old dragons. New dragons.
So,
dragon.
An army of three parts.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the infantry, which stand there and shoot and stab you. Then you've got the cavalry that roam around shooting and stabbing you, and I'm including the Dracon riders in that. You've got the dragons, which fly around shooting and crushing you.
Mm-hmm.
And then to get rid of your chaff, you've got the Elven Archmage, because this is one army that cannot afford to be chaffed up. Not with nine drops. Won't work.
She's just...
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does mean that most games boil down to, I don't care what you do to my army, I'm going to kill the ginger bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much our narrative on the gameplay against Andy. Yeah. Like, yep, guess what? You've got the ginger bitch on the table. I don't care about how many dragons I go for.
So that's a narrative vendetta if ever I heard of one.
Yeah, very definitely.
And then, just to add variety, Andy has started playing more recently with Sylvankin. So he gave us a Sylvankin list as well.
Mm-hmm. I do like Sylvankin, but then I do use a lot of Forces of Nature.
Yeah, well, these ones are Sylvan Glade Stalkers with Deathwood Arrows.
Regiments?
Mm. Well, they only come in troops and regiments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bit like a doppelganger, isn't it?
Yeah.
You only get regiment as your biggest.
Mm.
So, yeah, lovely jovely. Forest Shamblers, two hordes.
One of whom is the upgrade to the Awakened Guardians, which gives them, what does it give them? Elite and Rallying for Elves and Iron Resolve.
I've found he's put Aegis of the Aloia.
Which increases your Iron Resolve. So then we've got the Windborne, which is a special cavalry unit of elves which trundles round. Wind blasting stuff. So they've got elite, nimble and windborne arrows. It's the windborne arrows that simulate the wind blast seven.
Yeah, I have found them to be quite horrendous to face when I faced them. Yeah, honest.
I mean they're like the soul flayers. Anything that wind blasts you, especially against a shooting army, is quite nasty because you move forward. Especially if you're shambling or dwarfs or something like that, you move forwards and get wind blasted back half your movements. It takes you twice as long to get across the table. All the time, whether in shooting from the Glade Stalkers and the multiple Elven Archmages. Although, no, I have jumped over the Greater Air Elemental. My apologies. So we have Greater Air Elemental, who is. Oh, he's a spellcaster zero. Well, that's because you can give him lightning bolt, but he hasn't taken the lightning bolt. Crushing strength one, flying nimble, pathfinder, shambling, thunderous charge one. And then we have two elven archmages.
One with the boomstick,
which is the ginger bitch. And lightning bolt seven, surge eight. And the other one, the inspiring talisman, surge eight, and mind fog two. Mind fog's always a good spell to have. Done a lot of shooting.
Or it's a Friday after work.
And then two tree herders, the Wildfather. Because not dragons.
Mm, no.
Not dragons.
Not dragons.
Not dragons.
No. No, this is very not dragons.
Not dragons.
List.
One of whom is the Wildfather, and the other one is the Wine of Elvenkind, Nimble on a Tree Man. And they've both got Surge 8 as well, as well as Radiance of Life and Cloak of Death on the Wildfather.
And you've got that scouting that goes on through all the verdants out there.
Well, yeah, you've got all the scouting. Well, the Glade Stalkers
scout. It's quite fast moving.
The Glade Stalkers scout as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Windborne don't scout. The Forest Shamblers do. The Glade Stalkers do. And they have Stealthy as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very, very push-up army.
Yeah. Yeah, it's most of the way across the table before you've even set off.
It could be in your face quite quickly. This one is actually gets into double figures for its unit strength. Total units of 10, total unit strength of 40. Because not dragons. And because tree herders are only heroes, they're not titans, so they're only unit strength 1. Wow.
That's nasty and mean, but it's also very much your wood elves.
Yeah, and it is. Its 2,300 point version is very effective, as we can attest.
And there's a lot of shooting in that.
Narratively, it is very themeful,
mm-hmm.
apart from the air elemental, I would have to say. Mind you, he's got the Windborne in there as well, so perhaps they hang around with the air elemental Windborne cavalry. But the Gladestalkers and the Shamblers fit in with the defence of the forest.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. It is pretty much your wood elf kind of theme, isn't it?
It
full
is.
Stop. You know, the friends with the trees, the part of nature, they're just sylvan.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood.
But then,
talk to the
trees. Sylvankin is, at the end of the day, a forces of nature kind of offshoot anyway, isn't it, for the elf?
Yeah, it's a themed elf list.
Mm-hmm.
But it uses forces of nature stuff, but then so does the herd. The herd can have similar...
Do you want to do the utterly nasty flying circus list?
Oh, yeah. Go on then.
Okay. Well, now, this is definite tournament list.
Well, he's a masters player, so...
Yeah. This is Paul, who goes to club with us. Now, there's a whole can of worms that comes with this list. Because for him, he enjoys it thoroughly, because it's lots of fun. It's very hitty.
It is funny.
And it's exactly what he wants. But most people take one look at it and slate it as filthy and say, you know, nasty, nasty. It's definitely not rank and flank. It's very min-maxed. Very min-maxed. So, however you want to say it, Basileian, Basilian, there's so many different ways of saying them, but basically the Celestials.
Basileian.
I'll just smack you in a minute. Anyway.
What? That was my best American accent.
Right. Okay.
Basileian.
Yeah, but we're doing this.
Life is like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're gonna get.
You enjoyed that too much. Anyway, right. So we have two regiments of Aloe. Three. A horde of Aloe. That has Celestial Fury and the Brew of Haste put on it. Another horde of Aloe with Helm of the Drunken Ram.
Mm-hmm.
Another horde of Aloe with Celestial Fury and Jesse's Boots. Phoenix with Heal 5. Samacris, Mother of Phoenixes, with Fireball 8 and Heal 5. And Julius, Dragon of Heaven, with Fireball 8.
Julie Arse.
So this is all flyy. There is nothing in there that doesn't fly.
Oh, it used to have Ger Panthers in there.
Yeah. No, well...
Oh, this is a
This is a 2,000 point list, yes. Isn't it? Done specifically for me, because I sat there and said I would like a flying circus list. And this is his idea of a flying circus
list. Well, it is a flying circus list.
Completely. Absolutely. So, yeah, he's put himself very good at Killy. He always has the bloodiest general in mind, which, yeah, you can understand it when you look at how hard hitting those units are. It picks its fight. It's able to jump over anything, fly in, do all sorts of weird and wonderfuls. And, again, he sat back and said himself he doesn't do shame when it comes to lists. he just puts out what he believes is going to be the hardest hitting, nastiest list he can possibly pull together that he would enjoy to hit things
with. Yes.
Now then, turn it into a narrative. I can see it as being completely Celestials. You've got a bunch of angels running about hitting stuff.
Well, I mean, when you're an angel...
Mm-hmm.
Running around hitting stuff seems
a bit non-angelic, doesn't it?
Non-angelic, yeah.
But if you look at the lore and stuff that there is for Panathor, you can turn it into the Celestial Wars. You can turn it into, you know, these beings from another planet have turned up.
Well, what always gets me about the base alien...
Basileans. Please don't do that.
The Elohi. What gets me about the whole thing is that they're supposed to come down in times of dire need. The godlike creatures, these angelic beings that float down when you're on your uppers. And yet, that army's completely made out of them. It hasn't got a single... It's like the Abyssal Dwarf army with no Abyssal Dwarfs in it. Because it's all golems and stuff. Yeah. Like me pointing proudly at the crew on me Ankor Mortars and saying, look, they're Abyssal Dwarfs. So my army counts as an Abyssal Dwarf army. So that if you want to count it as a Basileian army, have some Basileans in it. Instead of all angels.
Yeah, but again, it's a theme. It's a whole angel theme.
If I was going to run a narrative and somebody decided that their narrative was going to be that they have an all angel army, then you'd have to put some sort of handicap on it. Otherwise, you're just going to run riot through everything. You know, it can only turn up on Sundays or something like that. Angels only work on a Sunday.
That's how we feel about Paul at times. Needs a handicap. Needs to behave.
He's not.
He's behaving. It's just badly.
he just enjoys beating people.
Yeah. Well, namely somebody that doesn't. The end of the day, it's always, you know, we all want to win.
Oh, on the table. All right, yeah. I thought you just meant beating people in general.
Oh, it's a good anyway.
So what would your narrative take be on? It doesn't have to be a Basileian army of... It's like Alistair's army with the 11 regiments of tortured souls that he took to war up north.
Circus. I played it.
I killed more than I thought I'd kill because when I first saw it, it was like, oh, shit.
There are lots of things out there that counter flying.
Dwarfs are one of them.
No, they're not. But at the same time, it's not the be-all and end-all. If you've got an entire flying army, there are only so many places you're going to be able to get to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, most of the table.
Yeah, most of the table, usually behind stuff, but you know how to block, well, as you get
better. Oh, yeah, you just layer things up and stuff like that, restrict the landing zones. I know all that. It's just what... It's the psychological effect of somebody. It's like when I used to, going back to lockdown and playing people on UB, a Universal Battles, the tabletop simulator game, and it'd be like, what's your deployment? And I'd go, Mastiff Hunting Pack, Troop of Brock Riders, Regiment of Brock Riders. And you could tell they were getting a bit bored of it by the end.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody goes, Tortured Souls or Elohi or what's the undead version? Wraiths. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you could have an entire army of Wraiths and Whites. The undead one would be slightly different because they can't double. They have to be surged everywhere.
We have seen both Paul and Rob take...
Oh, yeah, I've played both of those. They're heavy hitter undead armies.
Well, they've done Flying Circus style almost with those at times.
But, the thing with them is that that sort of army, if you take a tournament army like that... And I've just realised we're sitting here we've gone into discussion mode and we've missed an army list. We've not done John's army list.
That's going to be next because he's given me a lovely breakdown.
All right, that's fine. But the Elohi army, narrative wise, would fit into a narrative campaign as like I would almost turn it into like a video game thing. You will face the Alohi army as the boss of the level.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Rather than it being a player's army, it would be an NPC army.
Yeah.
You know, you fought your way up all the way.
Now suddenly you're fighting the angels.
Yeah, and all of a sudden a shitload of angels drop out of the sky, zap you to death with their flaming swords. That's your reward for playing through the entire camp.
Yeah,
that sounds fair enough. Yeah, I go with that. Because that's pretty much what happens on the battlefield anyway.
Yeah. It's not quite your horde of Valkyries that come down, is it?
Us mere mortals don't play at Masters.
Or do play at Masters, but...
Well, yeah, I have got a Master's Medal for being the stunt dwarf army at the Master's tournament.
Well, you were the next person on the list at the point that we'd had that dropout anyway, so...
Yes, I know.
It is one of them. Right, so, John Stanix's Goblins.
Goblin Always Trolls. Fun. Goblin Trolls.
Okay, Goblin Trolls.
Goblin Trolls. Sounds a bit rude, actually. What have you been doing?
Goblin trolls.
What have you been doing this weekend? Oh, goblin trolls. Have you been goblin trolls?
Good old gobblobblins.
With
trolls.
What happens in Cumbria stays in Cumbria.
Oh, dear.
Right, so, goblin trolls. I'm going.
You've just started laughing at your own jokes again, haven't you?
Goblin it's trolls.
Just bad.
Sharpsticks, which is goblin infantry, they have the crystal pendant of retribution, which when you kill them, it blows up.
Always nice to have boomy stuff.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a goblin, because things are meant to explode.
They have special rules. They have phalanx, and that's it. After reading all them elf ones where he's got elite phalanx, crushing strength, stealthy, and you go, goblin chapsticks. There's a horde of them with the crystal pendant retribution and phalanx. 30 attacks, 140 points, 19,
21
there. And a more pup cage, but no more pup.
Mm-hmm.
Trolls. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hordes of trolls. And I must admit, John's been sharing these troll painting on Facebook, and they're lovely.
Cute.
Even though he did go against my vote and chose colour scheme A instead of colour scheme B.
Well, I had the problem that I had to invent a C because I wasn't going to agree with you and I wasn't going to agree with Rich Miles either.
Yeah, no, you don't want to agree with Rich Miles.
So,
that way lies madness.
I don't know. Sometimes it's quite agreeable. Sometimes it's fun.
Just don't agree with him as a matter of course, to get an argument out of him.
That's why I wasn't going to agree with you either, because it was like, I'm just going to end up setting the pair of you off. So it was like, I'll go for option C.
Yeah, let's get back to goblin trolls.
Yeah.
So five hordes of trolls. Magic items in the form of the Chalice of Wrath, because they have that big nerve gap of 14, 17. Dwarven Ale, which gives them Headstrong. So the Chalice of Wrath of Fury, Headstrong. Healing Brew, which gives them a couple of one or two points back. Staying Stone, which closes that gap up to 15, 17. And the Mace of Crushing, in case one of them fails to wound at Crushing Strength 2. Fleabag Riders, 2 troops of Fleabag Riders. So,
Runny Trotty.
Nimble, Thunderous Charge, 1, Vicious Melee. Neither of those have got more pups on. They've got more pup cages, but no more pups. 2 Sharp Stick Throwers, which are basically Goblin Ball Throwers. Pretty standard stats. A Giant with a Giant Cleaver, so he's got Slayer, Melee, D6. We will be the old against heavy infantry or the monsters and stuff. He gets an extra D6 attacks. He's Crushing Strength 4, so he's D6 plus 8 attacks. Brutal, Fury, and Strider. We have a Goblin King. So we have Goblin King with Jareth's Pendant, which gives goblins Headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Shroud of the Saint, which gives him Heal 3. Never seen that before.
He's looking at minimising his wavering.
But... yeah, they get that with the Jareth's pendant, but the Shroud of the Saint, he's got a short bow, and he's also got heal 3, which means he's given himself more than one option in the shooting phase. Just in case. Well, it seems a bit redundant. Then we have a whiz with the Conjurer's Staff and Celestial Restoration. So, yeah, following the healing theme there again. Troll Bruiser with the Blade of Slashing in case he misses one of his 5 attacks.
Well, the healing theme obviously goes along with trying to mitigate all the wavering. Something tells me he's taken a lot of thumping in the past and ended up wavered far more than he's wanted.
Well, to be perfectly honest, trolls end up wavered at least 60% of the time in the game. And he's got 5 hordes of them.
Yeah,
and there's nothing more amusing than 5 hordes of trolls all wavering in the same turn.
You're just cruel.
I am.
Yeah. So, Kuzlow and Madfall.
Kuzlow and Madfall. Lovely, because I use these in my ogres. Bit of a double-edged sword once you actually get too close with the enemy, because the Ravenous Lizard reduction in nerve works for you and the enemy. But Crushing Strength 2, Inspiring Self only, Nimble, Pathfinder, Regeneration 4+, Vicious in melee, Ravenous Lizard, Sticky Tongue, which is Enthrall, so he has Enthrall 5. And the main reason people take him is the Hex 3, so because he's a height 3 lizard floating around. In a goblin army, he'd normally be higher than everybody else, but obviously in an army full of
trolls,
he's not. And then we have a king on a chariot, which is more what I'd expect a king to be. A nimble piece, 7 attacks, speed 9, only hits on 4s, but he's got the 4+ ranged attack on the short bow, 18-inch steady aim, crushing strength 1, inspiring nimble thunderous charge. Nice goblin. So what's John's notes say about
the
choices that he's made? He might as well make use of them.
The notes basically point out the things I've just mentioned, the Jared's pendant and the minimising of waving. Minimise wavering. Two troops of flea bags that act as chaff.
Just got this picture in my head now of all these trolls walking around going, waving.
You look really good waving to everybody that can't see you in a second.
Podcast,
isn't it? Yeah. King on Chariot, guarding the back end against flyers and allowing a little bit of extra punch. And obviously your trolls that roll forward, grinding down things.
King on Chariot, guarding the back end while the goblins are trolls. Goblin trolls.
So.
Words.
Yep. Narrative.
Narrative. So you've got not a tremendous amount of goblins. So you got one horde of goblins, a couple of troops of riders, and then all the other goblins are war machine crew and characters. Vast majority of it is trolls. So what do you say? Some very enterprising goblins have befriended an entire herd of trolls and persuaded the said herd of trolls to come out on an expedition with them to go and fight some other things.
They probably just sat back and said, I can take you somewhere where you can hit things.
Yeah.
And you want to come?
The trolls happen to know a big fella, so he's... Well, after the trolls all upsticked and left, the big fella went, ooh, I'm on my own now. So he's followed them. And the goblins generally quite happy to let the trolls wander up ahead while they shoot arrows, stuff at them, and stand at the back with their spears in case anything gets through the trolls.
Now, if we were to put a label on this army list, what would you call it?
Troll spam. Which is a bit unkind because it's got plenty of other stuff in it, but the first thing that people are going to see is 5 hordes of trolls.
Yeah.
So he's got plenty going for it. I mean, 5 hordes of trolls, no slouching combat. They are.
And there's plenty of other stuff. Anvil
hammers with the regeneration and the waiver mitigation on them. they're going to pretty much do what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that they've got the sharp stick throwers there to cause blink damage, you've also got the kings,
mm-hmm.
plural, because the Jarrus Pendant, who does that work on? Is it Goblin only? Dun 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 dun. It'll be right. Must be there. Tell me where you are. Yeah.
Where the next one up?
Guarantee there'll be people listening going, it does such and such a thing.
I think it allows them to
re-roll headstrong. In fact, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, you did. It was a wavering thing.
Aura of headstrong.
There you go.
So it gives them headstrong.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's standing in the middle of the trolls, apart from the trolls which have already got the dwarven ale, which gives them headstrong, the king can stand there in the middle and go, I give you all headstrong. Mm-hmm. Very judicious positioning.
Mm.
And the Shroud of the Saint, so he sort of runs around laying healing hands on the goblin trolls.
Well, again, it's part of trying to stop them from being wavered. Heal them as much as possible.
Mm.
And,
but they do have regeneration. So
yeah, it's very much the way I look at it is very much an anvil kind of list. It's designed to hang in there and hit heavy when it's capable of hit. You just have to hope it doesn't end
up. Well, it will end up wavering, but you then hope that you can roll
your head strong
more than a 3,
mm-hmm.
or 3 or more on a d6, which is one of the reasons I use free dwarfs,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have to do that, because I guarantee that I fail my headstrong rolls like 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I mitigate that by taking free dwarfs instead of imperial dwarfs. A bit extreme, but there we go.
Right. Well, we've looked at all of the lists.
We have indeed.
Are there any kinds of lists that we've not had in that we haven't covered?
We've got a flying circus list, we've got multiple spam lists, we've got
some very shooty.
We've got shooty lists, we've got some combined arms lists. We haven't got any fluffy lists per se, which is, as I mentioned before, the sort of list you get when you just basically go, I love these models. Or I've come up with an amazing theme for an army. Which,
well, in a way, you can say having more pups on this is probably circumspect from having more pups in a 2,300 list. Because John's not used to 2,000.
He's not written a 2,000. That's a 2,300.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Right. So he is just not adding the more pups to the cages.
And he hasn't taken a more pup launch to put them in there.
Hmm. It cost extra to have those more pup cages on?
No, the more pup cages come with the actual
So he's models. He's not...
They come with more pup cages. It costs to give them more pups. But if you have a more pup launcher, which is 75 points, I think it is, as John Guns did to me at the latest tournament I went to, once you've launched your more pups off in a unit, you can then shoot them with your own more pup launcher. You deliver more pups to their more pup cage,
mm-hmm.
and recharge the more pup attacks. And John had 2 more pup launchers that just sat at the back,
pinging more pups
out to his units, yeah. which is an interesting tactic, to be honest.
Makes for fun in a narrative, I'm sure.
Yeah, especially if you have a wingit to support them. With its eye in the sky, they then get elite.
Hmm. Cool. So. Having looked at all those things, as a newbie, hopefully we've given people a little bit of insight into different kinds of lists, different things to consider when you're doing a list, and obviously how you go about with narratives, because I'm regularly being asked, so how do you give a narrative to a list? And we've just gone over how we've done them.
We basically, you look at the list and you decide a storyline that brings them all together.
Mm-hmm.
The other way of doing it, of course, is if you are a purely narrative player, is you start off with either a piece of fiction that you've read or
character
or something like that.
Ginger bitch.
Yeah, and then you go, well, what sort of games am I going to play? Am I going to do a full on Kings of War campaign with full armies? In which case, you're then looking at building up 2,000, 2,300, 2,500 point armies.
Mm-hmm.
Or like we've done, which is...
lots of skirmishes.
Lots of ambush games, because we've decided that we want to expand the range of our armies. We have models for every army bar orcs, but thought of actually playing with 2,000 point armies of that was a bit daunting for us. And then when we realised that we could play four or five games in a day and tag them all together as a campaign,
mm-hmm.
then we decided we'd opt for the ambush. And we've gone the way of, well, we've gone both ways, haven't we? Because what we've done is we wrote the army lists, did the ambush games, and then
backtracked
with the narrative and came up with the narrative to go with it. We've also adapted some of the background that I'd already written and put that into our games, into scenarios, wrote the lists to fit that. Three different ways of doing it. And the other way is that basically you start from scratch and you write the narrative and the army at the same time. And then you buy the models and paint the models and have that. Whereas our technique is a mixture of all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my latest army came about, I started a Northern Alliance army. And in the book that one of the main components of the Northern Alliance army was dwarves. I had spare dwarf models. I thought, I'll start the Northern Alliance army, I'll play it safe. The first unit I'll make is a dwarf unit for Northern Alliance, Dwarven Clansmen. Dwarven Clansmen can have hand weaponry, shield or double-handed weapons. So I thought, well, I'll be a bit cheeky and I will make the unit mixed models so that I've got some with double-handed weapons, some with sword and some with the hand weapon and shield, so I can use them as both. And it also means that I can use them as ironclads or shield breakers with my free dwarf army,
mm-hmm.
which is why I've ended up with another free dwarf army. Because once I painted those dwarves for the Northern Alliance, I realised I liked them that much. I went on and themed an entire army out of Northern Alliance into free dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
So there are dozens of ways of finding your inspiration. You could look at other people's armies on Facebook or the Cal Forum.
Panithor.
You go into the Panithor Wiki, which we'll put some links to on our Facebook page.
There's novels, there's books out there that you can have a read of to give you ideas.
Yeah, not just Mantic books either, any books. I mean, I actually did an elf army based on Elric from Michael Moorcock. It was a very miserable elf army because Elric's a very miserable hero. I think the actual official term is a tragic hero, but...
It was you. So yeah. It will have been miserable.
So he was miserable.
He was very
grumpy. He goes around killing people for... Well, what he does is he goes around, his sword kills people. But because he's holding the sword, they all think it's him that's killed them. And then he gets grumpy with the sword, but he can't do anything because the power of the sword is what keeps him alive. So it's catch 22 for him.
Mm-hmm.
So... The more people the sword kills, the grumpier he gets. The grumpier he gets, the more people the sword kills. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes very miserable towards the end of the book.
Fair enough.
And there's no escape for him either because he keeps reincarnating down through history because he's an eternal champion.
Don't go spoiling the books for people.
Oh, come on, the books have been out for as long as I've been alive.
Well,
so
people might decide that they want to go and read them now you've mentioned it.
Elric of Melnibone by Michael Moorcock.
Okay, anyway, I think we are getting on to being quite late now. So we shall love you and leave you and say good night. So good night from me.
And it's good night from her. Good night.